All you faithful, all who are gathered here together, come and behold the one we have been waiting for. He is our hope in the darkness. He is the light of the world. Come and behold God's amazing love made flesh. Come and behold, the Messiah is here. All you faithful, lift up your voices in praise. Let everyone, everywhere, know this good news of great joy. The Savior of the world is born. Come, let us worship Him. Come, let us adore Him. The Prince of Peace, the newborn King, Jesus Christ, the Lord.
Good morning. Morning? Wow. Pastor Scott, it is not morning, but maybe morning in your own head. Is that about right? Silent night? It's silent night time? The dogs keep barking. Well, do we have one? I think we have one more video, don't we, son? I don't know.
I guess not.
Well, how are y'all doing this evening? Are you enjoying this wonderfully wet weather? No.
No. I need snow.
You need snow?
I need snow.
It's okay. We're good. All right. So I've got a couple announcements before we start service today, because we have to do announcements, right?
No, I think today, this evening.
This evening, today. You know, this is what happens when a pastor doesn't do an evening service very often. I think every time I'm in this room is morning. So, all right, we do have a women's ministry. It meets Sunday nights at 7 p.m. I invite all of you to come. The Bear's Den is now a student center and event center. If you are interested in renting out the Bear's Den, please let me know. Or we can show you to the website. It's pretty cool for birthday parties and all that fun stuff. We have divorce care on Monday nights at 6:30 p.m., so if you've been divorced or you know someone who's been through divorce or anything of that nature, it's a great opportunity to get together, wonderful support group. We have Distribution Day coming up. January 16th is our next one. Do you guys remember how many toys were out here on Sunday? There was a lot of toys still.
How many of you grew up like
I did? Not do that.
It's on auto.
It's on auto.
Yeah.
Well, goodness. So I would love to be able to give out some more toys today, but we had so many here, right? And there's so many more gone, but we still have so many left. So I encourage you guys to grab some toys, okay? So I got a quick video for you.
How many of you grew up like I did, not rich? Don't be so happy about it.
We borrowed for everything. Want a new couch? Go finance it. Want a new TV? Go finance it.
We had personal loans, student loans.
We were just doing what was normal.
It's called staying in debt. What a great idea for a bank.
I was just so sick and tired of being where we were at.
I was living paycheck to paycheck.
You just stayed right in the lane where they wanted you. People change their lives when they get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they finally say, that's it, I've had it.
What I love about this plan is it gives you a clear path.
This is a wealth building plan. It's not just a get out of debt plan.
A budget is simply a plan for your money.
You deal with the money stuff, and all of a sudden, you find freedom and connection everywhere.
feel like I can do more things than I ever could.
You can go from where you are to where you want to be. You're free.
You just gotta get started.
Yes, I encourage you to get signed up for Financial Peace University. I've said it before. I'll say it again. It is an amazing, amazing program. My wife and I have been a part of it. We've gotten out of so much debt, so much debt. We're still working through a lot of the stuff that you do with Financial Peace University. But if you are interested in getting into it, go to life360.org/Conway, and you can sign up right there on the Church Center app. It is $90 per family, and the reason why that is it's, first of all, it's worth it, and second of all, that's not that bad. It's 9 weeks, $10 a week, and you're going to get snacks, and we're going to have a good time, and there'll be drinks there. It'll be great. So anyway, I do want to encourage you, and I got this right now, son. If you would like to give of tithes and offerings today, we're not going to do like a collection or anything like that. We won't pass the bucket today, but I want to encourage you that there is a bucket in the back. It says Life 360 Church on it. You can give right there, or there's a box in the hallway. You can give in there as well. So I want to encourage you, if you want to give right here at Christmas time, it's a great time, especially coming up to the end of the year. So, all right. Well, Lord God, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much that we can come together today, that we can serve you, we can honor you, we can be around you, God. I pray for today's worship. I pray for today's word. I thank you, Jesus, that you came. Father, you sent your Son to live and die for us and be risen from the grave so that we could know salvation and we could know you, Lord. In your name, amen.
And lastly, we light the Christ candle. From John chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
So today we light the Christ candle in recognition that Jesus Christ has come. Now we know we celebrate that on Christmas Day, but for the purposes of Christmas Eve, we are celebrating it now because Christ has come. He's already come. All of this has already happened. And so what I'd like to do right now is I'd like for us to sing together. Could we sing some songs together? And we're going to do something a little different today. We got a song, and then we got a special. And then we got a song, and then we got a special. And then we got a song. How's that sound? So, all right, if you'll stand with me, we're going to start off with some music this morning. Or this, oh my gosh, this evening.
Thank you.
Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. To have a seat, we have a special by Miss Abigail.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
asleep on the hay. This humble king to you we sing, the heavenly child born, Emmanuel, your majesty in a manger, let your glory to our humble king. The
let's do another song, okay, shall we?
Soft bridges are strong when you kiss your did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Baby, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great
for the rest of this service, Jesus. Be with us, Lord, and everything that's said, everything that's done, God. Please, Lord Jesus, we need you today. In your name, amen.
We walk through the Christmas season steeped in happiness, under warm, glowing lights. But if we peer through all the extravaganza, we'll hear the soft cry of a shivering baby and feel the prick of divine joy. Born of poverty, between the walls of a rickety barn, and into the fragile arms of a nervous young mom, Jesus arrived unable to defend himself, much less anyone else. Hosts of angels lighting up the sky, trumpeting the good news, shattering the silence with praise and glory to God. We found you on the outskirts of a crowded town, given the last remnant of space, wrapped in leftover cloth. Tiny, humble, helpless, offered. We kneel, overwhelmed. We almost missed you, even as we tried to celebrate you. We must pass through the glittering town square and open the city gate, walk toward the pastures of uncertainty, onto a long, narrow road, under a cold but starry sky, into the barn that's never been noticed, and to the manger that holds all the love of God. Amen.
Amen, that's right. Did you hear the little amen back there? How about these ladies, huh? Give them a big hand. They are amazing. Well, that was... You know, I'm impressed with my kids. Are you impressed with your kids? I'm impressed with my kids. I'm impressed with everyone who shows up and helps. Thank you. I'm impressed with people when they share their gifts with the world or even with the church. I got to tell you guys, I got it, buddy, okay? You can turn it off now. Thank you. I got to tell you, it's really strange being up here right now. I'm used to being able to see the traffic outside and what's going on through the back windows, and I'm used to everyone's faces kind of going, I haven't had my coffee yet. And now it's, I haven't had my coffee yet. It's kind of the same thing, but, you know, the opposite side of the day. During church on Sunday, we've been doing this whole series on unexpected. We've been talking so much about how the coming Christ, the coming of Jesus, the Advent, the joy that was unexpected, the peace that's unexpected, the love that was unexpected, the hope that was unexpected. And today I want to talk about salvation and how it's so unexpected. Everyone in the world in Jesus' time and before Jesus' time, expected this great and mighty and amazing king to just grow up in the palace or in the temple, or they weren't quite sure how that was all going to work out. But the last place they expected to find their savior was in a barn. That's right. It was in a barn. And the last thing that they expected to find in that barn was a baby. Because I don't know about you, but I've never been saved by a baby. Right? I'm going to read to you this morning. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, and it goes like this. You may recognize this. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken under Quirinius, when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, not a short trip. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, and was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time had come for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly into strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room available to them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." Okay. Shepherds. That's not the high class society that we were hoping for, I guess. And what was their message? The Messiah was born. Oh, so we're not saved yet. Nope. Did you know that some of these guys were probably old enough they never saw Jesus on the cross? They never lived that long. It's very likely that that happened. It's possible that they may not have even known what the angels were talking about completely. Because all they'd heard was what they'd heard in church when they went to church. They couldn't always go to church because they had sheep to watch. I mean, I know folks that have had cattle, and when it's calving season, they don't come. They don't come to church during calving season. So I imagine it's similar with the shepherds. "You will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped in snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem, see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept these things close to her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and all they had seen. So in Luke chapter 2, we read about the birth of Jesus, our Messiah, our Savior. And these men, shepherds, I find it, you know, what's really interesting about shepherds, David was a shepherd. Did you know David was a shepherd before he became a king? Yeah, we learned that one in kids' church, right? David was a shepherd before he became a king. And here we go again, shepherds being the ones that are told about the king before everyone else is told about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. before everyone else knows about it, these shepherds out in the middle of nowhere watching sheep. This young child who they go and see, 33 years have to pass before he dies for sin, for our sins, yours and mine. And then that's in Luke 23. So we just went from Luke 2 to Luke 23. 33 years. There's some folks in here that aren't 33 yet. I know, right? But it doesn't end there. In Luke 24, it says that he rose from the death that he died from. He rose from that death. Sometimes today, many of us take Jesus' birth, death, and life, and resurrection, and all that. We kind of take it for granted sometimes, don't we? I think we tend to take that for granted because maybe we've grown up, you know, in America, and we've heard about this. We've celebrated Christmas for, you know, for eons. We sing all the songs. We have the tree. We do the candles. We do the processes. We do the things that we've always done. You know, one thing I love about Christmas time is it is traditional. It is very traditional. You know, I love the fact that the Christmas songs, and I realized that this today when I was in my truck today driving around, and I was listening to Christmas songs. Have you ever listened to like the Christian music station? And I don't bash on Christian music stations. I think they're great. They have wonderful songs. But I think during the rest of the year, they're all trying to get out of their bad situations. They're always singing about how God is going to save them from their troubles and all this other stuff. And it's like at Christmas time, they're just singing and praising and glorifying God the rest of the time. Have you noticed that difference? It's like a tone shift in the culture that happens. Not everyone. I get that. Not everyone goes through that shift. But here's the thing, guys. I think we really do take for granted a lot of what we go through in America. I mean, probably one of the most stressful things I've had to go through this whole season is figuring out how in the world I'm going to buy Christmas presents. What a great life I live. There are people in this world right now that are going through just horrible, horrible things just to have faith in Jesus. At this time, the Jews in Israel during Jesus' time, they're being oppressed by the Romans. They're not slaves, but they're not free either. And so the people in Israel are looking for some savior to come in and kick the Romans out. They want to kick them out. Get the Romans out of here. Why? Because that's what God did to the Egyptians. So, of course, we're going to do that again. We're going to kick the Romans out, right? But the problem was is that the issue, the thing is that, and I'm stammering, it's nighttime. It's never been about the circumstances that you live in. It's never been about the stressful things you go through, or the bad days that you have, or whatever it is. It has nothing to do with that. Because the reality is that whether it's Rome or the IRS or taxes or bills or whatever it is, there's something that's going to be oppressing you, something that's going to make you feel heavy. If it's the law, or if it's relationships, or if it's family members, or if it's your kids. I love my kids. You know, the thing is, whatever it is, it's just draining on your soul, is not what God came to save you from. Did you catch that? You don't get saved from your problems. You can get healed. You can find healing. You can be changed, and you can find transformation in your life. But God is not here to abracadabra your life and make you happy. He's just not. Jesus was born, lived, and was sacrificed for us. Not so we could feel good. Not so we could have less stress. simply so that we could have a relationship with God again. And we have the possibility of our destination when all of this life goes away, the possibility that we get to go to heaven. Guys, I've said this before and I'll say it again. God did not create hell for you. Did you know that? You are incompatible with hell. That's why it is so bad. It's like a supernatural push of a square peg through a round hole. It's going to hurt if you go there. Because you're not compatible with hell. And you can't process it. For you computer nerds out there, it's the difference between Mac and PC. Sorry, that was for my dad. They're not compatible. You weren't made for that. And I don't know if you're the one in this room that needs to hear this, but you were not sent here to go to hell. Your life does not exist because your destination is hell. You exist because God loves you and wants to know you. God loves you so much, he sent his own son to die for you. Jesus came and lived a perfect life so that we could have an example of what a perfect life is. And to be honest with you, it's kind of like that person in your family who is always right. You know that person? If you don't know that person, it's probably you. But here's the deal. There's someone in your family that's like always right, and you're just like, oh, gosh. See, the thing is if you look at Jesus' life, you're looking at it going like, God, I can't live like that. I can't do that. Well, yeah, you're not God. You weren't meant to do that. Do you know why? Because we're sinners. We're born sinners. We were created to be like that, but our predecessors messed up along the way. Thanks, Adam and Eve. But here's the deal. We're here now. This is what we got. This is the world we have. But here's the thing. Jesus loves this world. Jesus loves this world, and he loves everyone in this world. He loves everyone in your circle, everyone around you, everyone you know. He cares about you. So much, I'm going to say it again. He sent his son to die for you. I got two boys. That's a hard sell for me. That's a hard sell for me. Maybe you guys don't, some of y'all don't have kids yet. Good, thank you. But here's the thing. You may not understand that yet, but I can't imagine that. But God did it without even blinking because he loves you that much. And Jesus gave himself up willingly because he loves you that much. But there's more. There's more. I can stand up here and talk about salvation all day long, tell you how much you need it, all night. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Matthias. Why not till tomorrow? I'm just kidding. We won't do that. But Jesus didn't end there. He resurrected. He walked around with people, talked with them, hung out with them, was around with them, and then he said something interesting. He said, I'm going to leave, but you are not going to be alone. He promised us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was to come. And this is what Jesus said. In Acts 1:8, it says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. That same spirit from then is available now. If you have salvation, you can also receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ himself said these words. Our job is to take our salvation and share it with other people. The passage says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. But let me rephrase it. I like doing this. This is one of my favorite. I love doing this with this verse. Are you ready? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Conway, throughout Missouri and the United States and Canada and Mexico and to the ends of the earth everywhere. See, sometimes we miss what that scripture is saying because we don't have a geographical context. We don't get the map. We don't understand the map. Do you remember when we were in Luke and he was talking about who the governor of Syria was? Do you remember that? Literally, he's talking about the city, the state, the surrounding states or countries at that time, and not just the Roman world, the whole world. Even the parts that don't like us. Even the parts that you don't like. Did you know that God likes the people you don't like? God likes the people you don't like. We need to share the light of Jesus Christ with the people in this world more than anything else. The reality is, though, is that most of us will never in our lifetime leave this hemisphere. True? Most of us may not even leave our own community. I mean, how much time do you spend outside Missouri? Yeah, I can't. I mean, Illinois? I mean, you flew through Charlotte to get here. But, I mean, you didn't really land in any other states. And you didn't really experience Charlotte, did you? Where are you? No, I want you to answer. I want you to hear me, folks. Where are you? Well, you're in Conway right now, but where are you? Where is your heart? Where is God? Where does God place you? Where has God put you in? What is your niche? What is your place? What is your home? If I said go home, where would that be? If I told you to go home, where would that be? Think about it. That's a rhetorical question. It means it's one I ask and you don't answer out loud. Okay. So, where are you from? Because that right there, replace Conway with that. Phillipsburg? The other Springfield? Woodbridge? Marshfield? Where are you from? That's your Conway. Throughout your state. How many of you all, like, go around your state and tell people about Jesus? How many of you guys work outside your hometown? Ah, there you go. That's what it is. Okay, what about the United States? How many of you guys go to other states in the United States and tell people about Jesus? How many of you guys have had layovers this week and told people about Jesus? Love you. I know I'm mean. I'm targeting people today. About Canada and Mexico. We went to Canada this year, didn't we, honey? Did we share Jesus? Did we do it? Guys, we have a job to share the light of the world and the good news of the gospel with others. Let me show you what I mean. Elizabeth, can you do me a favor? Back there on the table are the lights. Can you hand everyone a light real quick? I know. Everyone's going to get a fake light. We have a lot of kids here today, and all the kids get to have a light. Isn't that nice? I want to show you how this works, guys, because this is really kind of cool. All right? All right, so just get your light from Elizabeth. She's going to hand them out. Matthias, maybe you can help her out, okay? You don't need that anymore. See, I was just telling some folks this evening. I have to get evening in my head, evening. I was just telling some folks this evening, I used to be a children's pastor. One of the cool things I like to do as a children's pastor is called an object lesson. Does anyone else know what an object lesson is? Now, an object lesson only works if you listen to the instructions. And the instructions are, don't turn on your light. Yet. I also need one. Well, thank you, sir. Does anyone else need a candle? Raise your hand if you need a candle. Maggie can have a candle. Sweet. All right, guys. So this is how this works. I'm going to do an object lesson with you. This is going to be a little different, and you can do this thing in 100 different ways, but I'm going to do it the kids ministry version today because we have kids in here, right? So this will be fun, and it's safe because it's safety candles. Anyway, I could bunny trail on safety candles all day. All right, so we have this wonderful, amazing, traditional thing here, right? It's called the Advent wreath. Boys and girls, say the Advent wreath. There we go. And so we have one candle that represents hope, one represents love, one joy, and one peace. So hope, peace, joy, love. Hope, peace, joy, love. And that's, yeah. And then what's the one in the middle? Jesus, that's the Christ candle, okay? So we light that candle to represent Jesus' life on this world. Now, Jesus has always been alive because he's the Son of God, right? So here's the idea of how this works. So this is how salvation works. Before we were saved, the world was dark. Dark. There you go. I'm working with volunteers here, folks. So the world was dark, and Jesus was a light, and he came, and he lived, and he died, and he sacrificed himself for us, and he was born again. He was raised from the dead. Well, yeah, we get born again. And here's the deal. Jesus lights us. See how that works? So now I'm walking around, and I've got this little light of mine, and I'm going to let it... Yeah, you're at Total Kids Church. Now, keep your light off. Keep your light off. I haven't told you to turn it on yet. So this is how this is going to work. I am going to go up to someone, and when I tap my light on your light, you turn your light on. Because this is how the gospel works, okay? This little light that I have, Jesus in my heart, I give that light to someone else. Maybe. You know what? This happens sometimes. People have a difficulty getting their light going. There you go. So now he's got his. So what does God tell us to go? He says go. What does God tell us to do? To go. Tell more people about him, right? So that's what we do. We go over and we find someone else who doesn't have Jesus, and we light other people, right? Right? Go ahead. Boop. Again, it takes a little... Come on. Use your fingernail. There you go. All right, so now we've got even more, right? Now we've got what? We've got five of us. I bet we can get more people all together now. Come on, here we go. Here we go. There you go. Ah, see how that works? And nobody's getting burned. There we go. Yes, folks, sometimes it's hard to get your light going, isn't it? All right, guys, everyone have a seat. Have a seat, have a seat. Guys, look. Guess what we just did? We just lit up the whole world. No, everyone now has Jesus. Isn't that how that's supposed to work? One person reaching another. Reaching another. See, and it goes so much faster when more people have Jesus. I used to do this. I did this thing a couple years ago. I did the math because every once in a while I like the math. Hi, Steve. This has gone totally off the rails, kids' church style. Steve is our vacuum, and he thinks it's time to clean up. Apparently, no one told Steve that we're not supposed to be cleaning at 8 p.m. on Saturday or on what day is it?
Tuesday.
Christmas Eve Tuesday. Pastor Scott, go to bed. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. It is. But here's the deal, guys. I did the math. Do you know how long it would take to reach 7 billion people if you reach one person a week and they reach one person a week and so on and so forth? You want to know? 7 billion people. 2.5 years. 2.5 years. 7 billion people in 2.5 years. Do you know how long it would take to reach everyone in the United States? 4.6 years. About 3 months. No, it's not. We could have everyone in our nation saved and knowing Jesus and having a relationship with him in 3 months. If all we would do is take our light and share it with at least one other person a week. The whole world? 2.5 years, bud. Maybe faster, because, you know, some people are, like, really into, like, getting 2, 4, 5, 6 people a week. Right? All right, guys. Well, this is what I want to do. We're going to leave our candles shining for right now. And I would like us to sing a song together. Okay? You can stand up if you'd like, or you could stay seated if you'd like. And we are going to do Silent Night. It's very silent. That kid is cute. Abby. Here we go. Thank you. See, the Lord works just like these candles. He uses Christ's sacrifice to create the possibility of salvation for everyone. But the continuation of that saving work depends very much on us. While Jesus makes himself evident in the world around us, we do live in a fallen world. And without us telling others about him, people will just be gone. They'll go to that place that's not designed for them. Hell's not designed for them either. This room is lit by our candles because of our sharing the light that came originally from the Christ candle. I hope and pray that the light of salvation Christ has given us spreads like this light has. One person sharing Jesus with another. Bow your heads with me today. Lord God, we thank you for the light that you've brought. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to have salvation and to come to know you, Jesus. We want to know you more. I pray, Lord, that we will live our lives in a way that shares you with others. But right now, more important than anything else, I want to address this in the room right now. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's anyone in here today that has never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior of their life, this is your chance. This is your opportunity right here. And don't miss it. Repeat after me. Everyone can repeat after me. This might help everyone. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. I believe in you. Please forgive me of my sins. I want to make you Lord and Savior of my life. Change my life. Amen. That's it. Now comes the hard part. Saying words is wonderful, but do you commit to them? Do you commit to the words that you say? Because Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in chapter 3, and we've heard this scripture before, that God so loved the world, he gave his son to die for us so that we could have everlasting life. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. We've heard that before. But here's the thing, is that it goes on to say that if you don't love the light, and you love to live your life in the darkness, then you reject the light. And I want to encourage you that if you've given your life to Christ today, or if you've given your life to Christ in the last 20, 30, 40, 60 years, to live for the light and to share it with other people, because someday your light's going to go out too. Not because you don't have the opportunity, not because you don't want to share the gospel with anyone else, but because you're in heaven. And every chance that you've had to share with the people that you know and love is gone. Don't let the light go out on you while you still have people that need to know Jesus. I want to encourage you to do that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you so much today. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and we love you. Lord Jesus, I pray today that you will be with us. I pray, Lord God, that you will show your glory in our lives. Through us, Jesus. Lord, I am sorry for the things that I have done wrong. But I pray today, Lord, that you would come into my life. Save me, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would transform my words, my deeds, my actions, my thoughts, to not be so focused on myself or what I can get, but on sharing you with others. Lord, I pray that as we leave this church today, as we celebrate your birth, we can remember why you had to come in the first place and celebrate that more than anything else. In Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas, folks, and I hope you have a wonderful and amazing time together with family. And if you'd like to keep your lights, yes, you may keep your lights. So you could share them with others. So Merry Christmas, everyone.
On earth, goodwill to men, and the bells are ringing like a choir they're singing. In my heart, I hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. In despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth.
thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the land. All who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the land. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, above them all thrones.